All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? How are we doing today? Sun is shining, beautiful temperatures abound, and it's only one game, people. Only one game. Barry is here next to me, Nick through the glass. We are here for the next 3 hours to be a pain in your ass, or an entertainment, or knowledge, or all of the above. Specializing in texting and text messages, where you can always reach the show. Also, you can call us or you can hit us on Twitter, as we are your one-stop shopping resource.
You lasted about 40 seconds before you mentioned it.
That's 30 seconds too long in my book, but at least we had to do an intro.
Happy
to be here.
You made it all of 40 seconds, but good for you. What's up?
Man, I'm just checking in. That was a tough one. I was really looking forward to that game last night.
Were you?
I was anticipating it. I got everything out of the way ahead of time. I was like, I'm looking for another tight game. You know, good baseball scenarios. Everything playing out.
Time. We'll get to it. Is this a scenario or a scenario?
What are you, texting?
No, I'm just asking.
I'm just asking if you want to correct on a text message. It's easier.
I'm just curious, because how do you say it, Nick? Is it scenario or scenario?
I say scenario, but I've heard it.
I've
heard a lot of people say
now,
scenario.
Is this a Midwest thing where you say scenario?
I think I've also said scenarios in the past.
Okay.
But I just somehow said scenario.
Tomato or
no,
tomato?
I'm a tomato.
Okay. Because like the
Are
song.
Are you an a-hole? Oh, no. Sorry.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I know.
There's that song. Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what? So what? So what's the scenario? No, they don't say that. They say scenario.
Okay.
And I feel like they're the leaders of the new school. They would know because it's school and it's new. But I do like that you dropped the scenario, which I was actually going to bring this up one day anyway. So I'm glad you said it because I was curious of how you guys say it. I feel like people. And not in your case. I think you were just saying scenario. Mm-hmm. But I feel like a lot of times when people say scenario, it's so they can be like, look how fancy I am. Like they almost put their pinky up when they say scenario just for no reason. You know what I mean? Like they're trying to be all like proper. You know how like Madonna.
I feel you. But I'm trying to think of another word that people do
another
that
Another scenario
with.
Where.
A word like that where they pronounce it differently to sound more proper.
Right.
I'm
like,
not saying that's what you're doing.
Right. I was trying to think of them too because there are other words. It's just. They're not coming to me
tomato,
right now.
Tomato, tomato, right?
But I'm sure on the text messages we will get some within the next 15 to 20 minutes.
I'm sure. But like, you know how Madonna almost developed an English accent just for no reason?
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of how it starts. You start saying the word scenario.
Wasn't that
and
due
then
to
pretty
Guy...
soon you say stuff like, that's a right proper thing to do. And was then you're
that,
like, what?
Was that due to Guy Ritchie?
Was it?
Kind
was that
of.
Why
I
she was
in
over
part.
There?
I think in
I
part.
Know she had started living over there and then just developed an English accent out of nowhere, which I thought was kind of strange, but... yeah. Okay. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's fine.
I had been wanting to bring that up. And when you said it, I was like, aha, now's the time.
I've never seen a more ridiculously awkward and weak ass swing in my life turn into a home run.
Oh my God. There's no way that should have been a home run.
No,
no way.
I'm just going.
It's a garbage ass stadium.
I'm going with just a brief synopsis for you here. Synopsis.
Okay.
Not a synapsis, a synopsis.
Okay.
But. Here's the other thing.
Don't read your text.
No,
while you're talking.
My other thing is, here's a guy on the roster that's been dying to make the playoffs his whole career. He gets picked up late in the season. He gets the opportunity of a lifetime, and he suddenly looks at a fly ball in left field like it's an alien. And at the last minute, if he could, he would have ran and hid under his bed.
Well, let's start with the home run that shouldn't have been a home run. That weak ass. Swing that ended up going over the fence. You know, a lot of people with it was Frazier, right, that hit it.
Yep.
A lot of people will tell you that Minute Maid is a juice box, that it's you know, a hitter's
gimmicky.
Paradise. It's gimmicky with the Crawford boxes and all that. Yankee Stadium is garbage. That right field, that short porch, that is garbage. That was an excuse me swing. It doesn't go out in any other ballpark in the majors except Yankee Stadium. And they had the nerve to, it's the shrine. Minute Maid, that's just stupid with the Crawford box. That's easy. Oh, really? Because that was a check swing home run.
It was. His ass was out. He had no weight on his back.
One
foot.
Hand, he
one
flips
hand lunges it on the outside corner.
Get out of
and
here.
That gets out?
Let's make a list of garbage-ass stadiums in the majors. We can start one Yankee Stadium. If you want to add Minute Maid at two, that's fine, but nothing beats Yankee Stadium.
Here's the other thing. We can talk now that we got rid of that stupid-ass hill in center field.
Yeah,
with
that's
the flagpole.
Yeah,
I think once we removed the hill and the flagpole, we have a lot more ground to speak of.
Yeah, that definitely helps.
And point fingers at other people. But yeah, look, right field in Fenway is short. But right field in Yankee Stadium is a flat-out joke.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And he admitted that it was a weird swing as well. Yeah. Todd Frazier did.
Did he?
Yeah, it's just a weird swing, first off. It's one of those where, you know, he's throwing real hard. The ball's moving a lot. Kind of fooled me, but at the same time, you know, I put the barrel to it. And that's at the end of the day, when you have nothing else, no legs, you got to use your hands. And that's all I did.
Yeah, nobody should be able to just use their hands and hit it over that stupid-ass right field
fence.
And then
what was all this looking at his wrist the whole time? Like, that's trying to say it's our time, it's my time. I don't know, Mr. Hand, if you're here and I'm here, it's our time. I don't know what the hell he was doing, but he hasn't had a series or a playoff to where he has anything to stand on there either.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, we have a winner for other words that make you
Please.
Sound fancy, but they're not.
Yes.
This is from Snap in yes. H-Town on yes. Twitter. Schedule.
People say it like that?
Oh, yeah.
People
drop a
it,
schedule
yeah.
on you. I just want to punch them in the throat.
Yeah, I would, too. I would want to punch them in the throat.
That's grounds for getting punched in the gullet.
I was going to say comfortable. Like, so people say, like, comfortable. Or they try to like, pronounce every letter in the word.
Yeah, yeah, like Jaguars.
Yeah.
Yes, Jaguars. That's another one.
Jaguars.
Schedule. Kyle said pecan. That might not
pecan,
be bad.
Pecan is not bad.
Yeah, but...
there are others. I know I'm missing them
potato.
Right now. Yes, but there are others.
Schedule is a really good one, though. Yeah. That's when you know people are trying to be fancy. All right, so let's talk Maben.
Oh, my God.
He really pissed me off, and then AJ took a run at me on Twitter, and I was like, shut up, AJ.
He did?
Yeah, because I said that was garbage, that he didn't – that I want somebody that's going after that ball out in left field. I don't care who it is. I don't want to see Maben anymore. I'm done. Like, dude, even McTaggart was like, that looms large now. That out looms large, and it did. And you got that close to the ball, and you didn't even make a play for it. You literally watched it bounce into the stands for a double, not even attempting to make a play. I'd have rather seen Marwin Gonzalez not even get near it, but still hustle after it, mm-hmm. as opposed to getting to it and stopping. I don't know what's worse, because that was AJ the point he made, because I was like, get Maben out of there. I'd rather see anybody else. At least Marwin's diving for it. And he said, well, Marwin's not close. No, not positioned the way that they were positioned in the outfield for that particular at-bat. But at least if he's close, he's going to go for it. Same thing with Fisher. Fisher has enough speed to get there, and he probably dives for it. You got to sell out, man. You can't just quit on that play.
I totally agree. And again, look, during the regular season, I was all about AJ getting guys rest and getting certain people playing time. But based on the glove positioning and body positioning of one Evan Gattis last night too, I'm about done with putting the people in just, hey, give some guys some rest and a chance. Opportunities. I want McCann behind the dish. I want someone that's going to go balls out in the outfield. I mean, yes, and I want our best hitting lineup on the field. I just, all of that frustrated me last night. The fact that McCann had a ball that bounced right by the plate, and instead of putting it...
Gattis.
And instead of putting it with top of the glove to the ground, sliding your body completely in front and smothering it, he tried to catch it on the fly, and when he didn't, it bounced over the glove to the backstop, runners advance. And the other thing that I'm just amazed by, 64% of the runs scored by the Yankees in this postseason have been with two outs. Last night, they scored all of their runs with two outs.
Mm-hmm.
Eight runs with two outs.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah, last night was ugly, and I'm okay with some of the – I mean, I don't like Bregman batting second. I still like Reddick up there. Batting second, but I know because you had the left-handed Sabathia on the mound that you wanted to get as many good matchups as you could up at the top of that lineup. You know, I had been wanting to see Gattis because he hit 400 in the DS and then didn't get a sniff the first two games. And I don't know. I mean, the lineup probably made sense, but I would have rather have seen McCann behind the dish catching, but with a left-handed Sabathia on the mound. I get why you had Gattis in there catching. I get that. I get why you had Marwin and then you put Maben in left field because you Gonzalez had been playing left field, but let's face it, it's a bigger left field in Yankee Stadium than it is at Minute Maid. So there's more ground to cover. So from that standpoint, it makes sense because Maben's a better defensive outfielder than Marwin is. When he's going for the ball.
Left field's only bigger in Yankee Stadium because right field is the size of my thumbnail.
Yeah, but then also it makes sense because, you know, the lefty on righty matchups and you know, getting a left hand, get another right-handed bat in there. But I don't know. Today is a new day. You put it behind you. I thought they would at least drop one in Yankee Stadium. I thought they would win in five. So now they just have to go out and win two. I feel bad for Charlie Morton because he pitched his butt off.
He really did.
Talk about bad luck.
Yep.
Like, it was dinks and dunks, and it just felt like he pitched way better than the results showed. He gave up 7 earned runs over 3 2/3. It just didn't feel like he pitched that bad.
Even Smoltz was saying, I mean, he's going to go to the bench when he got pulled with an outing that, from a statistical standpoint, looks
nightmare.
Like he got lit up.
Yeah.
But when you watch the game, you have no clue how well he really pitched.
Yeah, he did.
He really did pitch.
He was dealing for the first couple of innings. He just ran into some trouble, and Harris came in and coughed it up.
And I give you full credit. Boy, your boy McHugh, four innings of scoreless baseball, looked good.
Yeah.
So that's great going forward, assuming that you go forward now and you're moving forward at some point because he looked really good. Granted, it was 8-0 at the time, but still, hey.
I mean, you still got to go out there and make your pitches and the same thing. So I guess we're going to find out with McCullers tonight how he does.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
I'm a bit surprised that they're going to him,
but
not fully. I like the move, as you know. I've been supporting it. So
we'll see. We got plenty to talk about. We got baseball on the docket and a whole lot more. Mario Elie, by the way, the NBA season kicks off tonight, or tips off, if we want to be technically correct so I don't get any more text messages. The NBA tips off tonight, which means Mario Elie is at 2:30 today. He's going to join us, talk everything about the Rockets in the NBA. If there's questions you want to ask, let us have them, and we'll see if we can get them in. We are at 713-780-3776, where you can text, you can call, or you can hit us on Twitter, where it's at Barry is Funny, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the usual suspects. We're going to be here till 4, so we look forward to you being a suspect on the show and participating throughout. Right now, I want to tell you about the great program that is the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. It is a fantastic program here in Houston I've been telling you about because it's Houstonians making the chances of kids trying to get a second chance at an education easier because of your donations. What I mean by that is, I know after Harvey, a lot of you lost vehicles. A lot of you just need to get rid of them because they're not working anymore and you don't know what to do and who to call and you don't want to pay any more to have them towed away. Well, here's all you got to do. You call Houston Cans Cars for Kids program, 713-225-4226, or log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Tell them what you got. Tell them where you live. They do the rest. They come to you. They tow it away. They do the paperwork. They give you a tax deduction. You mentioned ESPN 97.5. You can get a $50 gift card. That's where the process really begins, because then they take it away, whether it's working or not, if it's a car, a truck, an RV, a motorcycle, or a trailer, and they turn it into resources for kids who are trying to get an education. They take away distractions, which means some of these kids may need eyeglasses. They may need book money. They need bus fare. They need warm meals. That's a distraction if they don't have them. That's a bonus if they do, because they can just focus on the books. That's what this program does. That's why it's so amazing. So if you got something you can donate, please consider doing so. 713-225-4226, HoustonCarsForKids.com. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Yeah, this is how we do it. We don't do it the way anybody else does it. We all have our own styles, and guess what? Ours is just fine with us, and I think it's okay with you guys, too, as we continue to roll on, trying to entertain you as we talk sports and other things throughout your day to keep you occupied and entertained.
We've got some more words on the text lines.
Okay.
Caramel versus caramel.
Yes.
That's a good one. Aunt versus aunt. I like that as well. Somebody said that they didn't like Smoltz, that he was all over the Yankees. I actually thought Joe Buck was very pro Astros for the duration of the, and I didn't disagree with it. Yeah, I felt like he was really showing a lot of love to the Houston. And I'm usually not that guy. I'm usually like, oh, these guys hate Houston. It's obvious. Ugh, this New York media East Coast bias. I didn't feel that at all. I felt like he was kind of.
I felt it was SportsCenter. Oh, I got to be honest with you, because when the Astros got the two wins, the tone was almost like, and with an exciting game and the Yankees hanging right in there, last inning, the Astros come up with the big hits when they needed them. Correa, then Altuve scores, and the Astros take a commanding 2-0. It was just kind of like it was kind of a downward turn. Everything this morning was, the Bronx is on fire, the Big Apple is excited, and the Yankees pounded the Astros, getting right back in the series. And then Steve A. Smith is the biggest Yankees fan in the world, so he was all over it. And I was just like, man, at least try and keep it somewhat on an even keel.
Right.
But boy, the tempo of when the Yankees get a win is so through the roof. And when the Astros win, it's kind of just a subdued monotone, like, and the young Astros continued to do what they needed to do to squeak out victory. It's like, shut the hell up.
We got a couple more words. Vase versus vase.
That's a great one. Yes. That is fantastic.
Would you bring me the vase so I can put these petunias in there? Yeah, that's fake ass people. Niche versus niche. Like, oh, that's his niche.
Yes, yes.
Versus niche.
Yep. That's another good one.
Yeah, and then root versus route. I like these. These are good.
And the great thing is people got on the wavelength right away. They understood exactly what we were looking for.
Yeah.
And then they responded favorably on text messages.
Yeah, and Buddy the Stroke Driver added vase and vase as well. So, yeah, that's definitely one of those for sure.
And then we were also talking about, Craig was talking about the people that start every sentence with so, like they're dropping knowledge on you. Now, I worked with a guy that was like that, and he's an East Coast guy, but literally everything was so you think that there's a chance that if the Rockets win this series, and I was just like, you don't need the so, but he couldn't stop doing it. But the other one, and you get it on talk radio a lot, the guy calls in, and the first thing he says is, all right, fellas, listen, we have no choice. You're on the air, and the floor is yours. We're going to listen. Don't start every sentence with, listen, man, Maben shouldn't have been in left field, man. And listen, there's no way you should be mixing up lineups at this point of the year. I mean, we're listening. You don't need to tell us.
Here's one. And this, you know who's guilty of this? The guy that joins us on Mondays and Fridays.
I don't know who you're talking about.
He's totally guilty. Via versus via.
Does he do that?
Palillo does that. You can join us via the text lines. You don't need to say that. Via. It's via. Right? Because it's Texas. Yeah. We say via. You want to do the call?
Yeah. What about Greg Poupon? Pardon me, sir.
Pardon moi.
Would you have any grandpa poem?
George, you got some catchphrases or words that make you sound fancy?
Hey, hello, chap. Yes.
Hello.
Just ever since this rash of hurricanes and tornadoes, we've got this controversy about vitamins being packaged in aluminium. Any thoughts, lads?
That's fantastic. I hope people were paying attention enough,
George,
to get all of those.
George, you nailed every vitamins was the best. And I don't know how he did aluminum. Yeah, do it again. Aluminium?
Yes, packaged in aluminium. You know, there's controversy about it.
Fantastic, man.
George, you just went to the Call Hall of Fame for the Usual Suspects, dude. That was fantastic.
Well played, sir. Well played.
My goodness. Thank you, man. That was, that was outstanding.
Yes.
Vitamin is my favorite. That was really good. But, that was, good luck. Nobody's beating that.
Nope.
Text, calls. I don't think anyone's beating that today. That was fantastic. Oh, and then somebody said Bun B in Big Pimpin' when he says, oops, my bad. That's my scenario.
Yeah, scenario.
Yeah, because he says scenario as well. So Bun B trying to get fancy. Hey, speaking of Houston rappers, I'm not going to get too far off on this, but our boy Jason Rowland, shout out if he's listening from Current Cuts, sent me a video, and it was for Callaway Golf.
Okay.
And it was.
You guys know it's a golf company, right? It's pretty popular.
Yeah.
Okay.
Callaway, what?
Oh, it's just a golf company. I didn't know if you guys knew anything about
it. Yeah, I have Callaway clubs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Big Berthas?
Yeah, driver, yeah. No, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Right. My irons are as well, I think.
Nick? No.
No, he's got what is the ones from Academy?
Top Flight.
No. What were the real cheap
McGregor?
Yes. Nick's got the McGregors with a persimmon wood.
Oh God. With leather grips.
Yeah, with actual tape, leather taped grips on them. But no, it was a video where Aaron Foster got some custom-made clubs from Callaway, and he was at Jason's barbershop talking to him. Scarface had come into Current Cuts to get his hair cut with Jason. They all started talking about, you know, Arian and Scar. And so they ended up scheduling some golf with each other. So Scarface and Arian Foster played golf at Wildcat, which I told you when we were out there, I saw him as I was leaving, right?
I don't know that you mentioned that.
Yeah, when we were out there for that
Pete Rose tournament. Yeah.
As I'm walking out, I pass him. He was walking in. Scarface was. And I didn't say anything. I was just like, okay, whatever. I'm sure he's doing his thing. I don't want to bother him. But so I guess he's a regular out there. But him and Arian Foster ended up playing. At one point, they started off like first tee. And it immediately was like $100 closest to the pin. They're like, okay. At one point, I guess towards the end, Scarface is up $3,200 on Foster.
Wow.
And he's like, double or nothing? And they're like, yep. And it's a putt. And Scarface doesn't get close with the putt and loses $3,200 like that. It goes from he's getting $3,200 to zero.
I have stories like that you wouldn't believe.
But it was a really good video. And it was cool to see.
Video?
Yeah, it was a video. I'll try to tweet it out if I can find it, because he sent it to me in a private message. So I don't even know if it's available or what. But it was really cool to see Scarface and Arian Foster playing golf at Wildcat and Benton. And you know, it was about Callaway, but it was pretty interesting. I mean, they're clowning each other and having fun. So pretty cool.
They actually made it into a Callaway commercial?
Yeah, it is.
Well, that's good, because then they're going to end up getting a whole bunch of free stuff out of it.
Yeah, right. Well, he had already gotten all the clubs custom fit. And he had the big grips now. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
They have the big grips on the clubs?
Yeah.
Scarface was making fun of Arian Foster for having big grips.
There's a new kid on tour, DeChambeau. And he literally, on all of his clubs, uses like a putter grip.
Yeah.
Those big, oversized grips.
I need a new putter. I was going to get one of those.
But it works, I guess, for him, because he's obviously very good on tour.
Yeah.
But he definitely uses them on all of his clubs. And I believe the other weird thing is all of his clubs are the same length.
Really?
Yeah.
So the nine iron is the same length as a two iron? Yeah. That makes no
Which
sense.
Which is weird to me.
Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah, so that's
some
Does
he choke down, though? Is that what he does?
I would think it's a matter of you're playing the angles and where your hand positioning is. But then the other thing that's just crazy when you were talking about all that is, one, we were playing a course, a very, very private course in Vegas one time, and the guy that was caddying for us said he was a professor from the University of Michigan. We're like, then why are you here?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, you have no idea on this course. Shadow Creek is the name of the course in Vegas. And literally, there was a point in time where they only allowed like 25 people a day to play it.
Wow.
And you had to pay these astronomical, or you had to be a guest. All the World Series of Poker guys play. They play and they give the caddies a percentage of what they make so that they're really dialed into like taking it seriously, even though they're not the greatest golfers. He said on some holes, it can be $25,000 riding per player.
Oh,
they're playing
God.
12 guys in a group because there's no one else on the course.
Yeah.
And, like, the money was – he goes, professor at Michigan or what I'm making in a month when my guy's hitting the shots I'm telling him to make?
Hell
I'm like,
yeah.
Well, I get it, man.
Yeah,
that's
for sure.
That's crazy.
Last one, envelope versus envelope.
That's a good one,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, if you drop an envelope, it sounds fancier. So, yeah.
Caramel is one of the big ones.
Oh, yeah. Caramel versus caramel.
Caramel.
Yep, yeah. By the way, longtime listener Zach, and I know that because he said, hey, you guys going to do drink songs for Throwback Thursday? Well, Zach, we don't do a Throwback Thursday, so no.
No. Yeah.
Longtime listener, though, Zach. Can tell.
Longtime first time, Zach.
Damn it.
But there's always going to be a second time.
It's way
time.
Back Wednesday, Zach.
Yeah.
And now your suggestion is going deleted.
What are the odds we go to Throwback Thursday? No, not happening.
Not that
All
either.
Right, but I can tell you this. We got a whole bunch of shows still to get to. Within about an hour from now, Mario Elie will be joining us. So that'll be great. Just talk about the kickoff of the NBA season. If you missed it, Kevin McHale was on yesterday. You can catch that on the podcast. And we're going to continue to roll on as we get ready to preview Game 4 between the Astros and Yankees and a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. Coming up with much more of the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back in the first hour, halfway through it, Usual Suspects on a Tuesday where there's nothing
too new, but do it. Astros jumping back on the diamond here. 4 o'clock Central Time, 4:08 first pitch. I do hate when the networks trick you into thinking that it's a 3:08 start by saying coverage begins.
Yeah. So the lineup
for
your Astros today, Springer leading off,
yes.
Center field, Reddick hitting second back again, playing right field, Altuve, Correa, Gurriel back at first, Bregman at third, Beltran back at DH, Gonzalez out in left field again, and McCann behind the dish hitting ninth.
Okay with all of it.
Yeah, I mean, the big worry, obviously, is Gonzalez in left field versus any of that. But after last night, I don't need to see Maben again. And the Yankees run line -1.5. I find that to be interesting. Huh. It's Sonny Gray versus Lance McCullers. You look up and down the lineup for the Yankees, though, and their averages against McCullers.
Yeah.
Career.
Yeah.
Gardner, .333. Judge hitting .500. Gregorius hitting .625. He's 5-for-8.
Against McCullers.
Yeah. Sanchez 0-for-3. Bird doesn't have an at bat. Castro 0-for-5. Hicks 1-for-7. And catcher Romine 1-for-2. Frazier doesn't have an at bat against McCullers. So the top of the order is where it's going to be tricky for Lance McCullers in this game. And then you look at career versus Sonny Gray for the Astros. Springer hitting .250. Reddick hitting .500. Altuve's hitting .367. Against Sonny Gray, so that bodes well. Correa 1-for-14 against Sonny Gray. Gurriel 1-for-3. Bregman only has one at bat with a hit. Beltran 4-for-11, so he's hitting .364. McCann hitting .333. So up and down the lineup, they look like, other than Correa, for the most part, they look like they can handle Sonny Gray. And they did this year. They've gotten five earned runs in 5 innings the one time they faced him.
Yeah, I referenced it the other day when we were talking about Sonny Gray, when he was the hot name to be thrown out there in terms of trade talks. He pitched against the Astros when he was still a member of the A's, and the Astros just lit him up.
Yep.
I mean, people were saying, was that the gift to his future team that he just, you know, gave him up, served him up? But for whatever the reason, the Astros got the best of him. So it'll be interesting to see. And, you know, the thing about McCullers is, first of all and foremost, with the way Judge is hitting, I wouldn't give him a fastball. I mean, as soon as you get ahead in the count, you got to make him chase all off-speed pitches because that's where the success and the strikeouts have come throughout the playoffs. The bottom line is, though, if you're Will Harris.
I was going to say,
so
what you're saying is if you're Will Harris and your catcher says, let's just give him some breaking stuff low and away.
Even a changeup down and out.
And you shake him off because you want to challenge him up and in. Don't do that, is what you're saying. Because he'll probably yank it out of the stadium.
Lisa said, they brought in that guy with the old man fat face.
You know what's weird about Will Harris? He looks like two different people without his hat.
Yeah.
Look at him with his hat on. Well, like Google Will Harris in his hat, and then Google Will Harris like after a game. Nick, you've seen this all the time when you go in there. He looks like two different people. I don't understand how that's possible, but it's almost like he's got like a Mission Impossible mask on that he pulls off. I don't even recognize him without his hat on. It's very weird.
The other thing that you need to do, what's the ventriloquist that has the kind of Mr. Burns or Mr. Smithers looking?
Is it Jeff Dunham?
He looks like the puppet if you put a Stroh's hat on him. When he's pitching, he gets kind of that face.
You think?
Yeah,
oh,
he looks
yeah,
like the doll.
A little bit.
He looks
okay.
like the doll.
I know. He's always looking up in the stands like he's disinterested or he's trying to – he's scoping it out. So down the stretch, just if you're curious, Sonny Gray in the month of September had a .458 ERA. He went 2-4 with the Yankees. And before that, though, .270 ERA, but also went 2-3 in August. Compare that to Lance McCullers. Lance McCullers, July, he had .964 ERA. And then his September in his 3 starts, he had almost a 7 ERA. So this is why you've been saying, I want to see McCullers get right. You know, he had the one outing in Boston where he went 3 innings and gave up 2 earned runs. So we'll see how it goes. You're up 2-1. You only need to steal one on the road. So if it doesn't happen today, you probably run Peacock out there tomorrow.
Do you? Just to make sure your two big guns are fresh and ready?
I think so. Would you run Keuchel back out there again?
I thought about
it. Do you really want to not have a game 7 with one of those two guys available?
Do you really want to try and do your best to keep it from going 7?
I'll take my chances down 3-2 at home with Keuchel and Verlander on the mound as opposed to something happens in Yankee Stadium. Keuchel doesn't get a win. It goes extra innings or something. And now you've got to pitch Verlander just to force a game seven. And then who you got? Who you're running out there in a game seven?
Yeah, I was really surprised last night that it wasn't Musgrove before Will Harris. I really was. I thought for, you know, just looking at the pen and for the op, just
as bad as it was getting away.
Yeah, I get that. But, and then the other thing was, I mean, you couldn't predict this, but the way McHugh looked, holy cow. I mean, that probably sent a message to AJ at least that, hey, I got a guy that's not going to be in a moment that's too big for him if I call his number again. And he settled in there rather nicely. You know, and the thing is, we were talking about announcers before. The one thing I did like about Smoltz, too, and getting back to Judge, was he said, just for the sake of speeding up the game, can we just start Aaron Judge on a 3-2 count every time? And as much as you laughed it off, the rest of the game, I kept going, God, he's right. Here's another 3-2 count.
I think he led the league in getting to a full count. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I believe that's the case.
So it'll be interesting. Look, to me, I liked McCullers early in the year. I like him when he's healthy. My biggest fear is he's got to be really on his game today. He can't, as good as that curveball is, he can't leave anything up in the zone. The numbers you just read to me did not help encourage me in the fact that Brett Garner can extend at bats better than just about anybody in the league by fouling pitches off until he gets what he wants. And they did a great job of illustrating that last night where he's looking for something over the plate and a little higher in the zone. That's what happens when McCullers doesn't have, you know, the spin rate that he normally has on that curveball, when it sits up instead of diving down and falling off the table. Those are the kind of pitches that those guys can really tee off on. So again, because he's had so much time off, because he really hasn't been, you know, consistently getting the reps and getting the starts and getting the time on the mound, it worries me how sharp he's going to be.
My big concern isn't necessarily Lance McCullers, just these Astros bats. This lineup has got to get going. And if they don't get going today, I'm really concerned that they may not get going and that they're going to have to win some, you know, 3-2 ball games. And I don't know if you can do that against this Yankees team. I mean, you won the first 2-1, but look what happened last night. They opened it up. They're probably going to open it up again, score 4 or 5 runs. You're going to have to outscore the Yankees. That offense that's been the best offense in baseball all year is going to have to start swinging the bats again. They're going to have to get hot. And if they don't, if they put up 1 or 2 runs again today, I'm going to start to inch towards that panic button.
Yeah.
Because it's not looking good.
When you
it's not
look
like
at their playoff
facing
numbers throughout, and you think these guys really had a good playoff run to this point, and you look at all of them, Springer's obviously struggling. You know, even Bregman, who had the 2 home runs against Sale, but overall from an average perspective, he's like .248. I mean, no one besides Altuve is really ripping the cover up. Correa's been hot. But even still, you look at their playoff numbers, they're nothing spectacular.
Yeah, I would say Correa's probably been more clutch than hot.
Yep.
But yeah, it's a bit concerning. So I don't know. This team needs to get it together. They need to get back on track. They need to start hitting again.
Tony wants to get back in on this catchphrase thing that we started early in the show that I did in
advance. Gentlemen, you guys are great. How you doing today?
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
Calling in.
I'm going to take a shot at this, and I'm going to do it in that guy's accent.
Okay.
But I believe, and there'll also be a Texas thing in there because I'm from New York and I don't understand why this town is actually pronounced this way. But I'll do it in his accent and I'll do it now. Traveling towards Humble with some coupons to the big garage sale and found myself amongst jaguars eating potatoes.
Not bad, Tony. That's the only thing I would correct is it was probably, you would say coupons. That would probably sound more fancy. Yeah, coupons.
So, you know.
That's not bad, though. For a New Yorker in Texas talking British, yes, I give you an A-.
I like Garage.
Yeah, Garage is nice.
I gave it a shot because he was great. I mean, that guy, hands down, like you said, one of the most classic ballers ever. That guy was awesome. And he had the real accent. You know, I had to fake it.
By chance, Tony, did you find yourself a skosh out of your neighborhood over by Kuykendall? Instead of
my wife used to call it Kuykendall.
Yeah,
okay? Yep.
It's like, why is that Kuykendall? There's no R in there.
Yeah, exactly. There's
no, it's humble, not humble.
Right.
But then again, we do call Houston Street Houston in New York.
Yeah, you guys totally screw that up. Yep. But that's okay, because they call it Rodeo out in L.A., so we forgive both coasts. Hey, are you a Yankees fan, Tony?
I could have said that way. I was on Rodeo Drive.
Yeah. Are you a Yankees fan, Tony?
I was. I'm 10 years in Texas now, in Houston, and I am fed up with the New York teams and ownership, so I have denounced it, and way before, like mid-season, before the football season started, I have now denounced the Giants, the Knicks, and the Yankees, and I am a Astros, Texans, and Rockets fan, but I will never give up on my Rangers because I played ice hockey my whole life.
There you go.
You are now an official Houstonian.
Yeah, man.
I'm an Houstonian. Thank
yes,
you.
Congratulations.
Well, welcome to the family, man. We're glad you converted. Thanks for the call, Tony.
Oh yeah, guys.
That was good.
That was great stuff.
Gay Raj was pretty spot on too. He nailed that. Yeah,
I had never, heard that one, but the other one, I've told you guys this before.
I've heard Garage and Gay Raj.
I used to work and play basketball with a guy that swore he was from the hood of Humble.
What did he say? Like, hood?
So that's what we used to say to him. You sure you're not from the hood of Humble or the hood of Humble?
That's good.
He didn't really care for that one.
Right.
All right. We continue to roll on with already has been a very fun first hour. I mean, if you got things that you want to get to us, whether it be Astros related or how are we categorizing this?
I don't know. It was just one of those things that struck me. Is it scenario or scenario, and which sounds fancier?
Fancy
words. Well, ways to say words to make them fancy. How about that?
Yeah, ways to make yourself feel smarter. There you have it.
There you go.
We'll continue with rolling on. Hour number one of the three-hour extravaganza right here. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Time that we took a break. Maybe we're just trying too hard,
when really it's closer than it is too far. Happy birthday, ESPN 97.5. We're 10. If you thought we were degenerates before, wait until we hit puberty.
Hold on to your butts.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects. It's Nick, Barry, and Joel till 4. Continuing to roll on. Some of you, great participatory skills. Great participation.
Easy for you to say.
Others, wait till you got that read coming up here, cowboy. Others of you, not to be named, snap. Slow down on that video, bro.
That was not
good,
man.
That was
a
bit much.
Yeah, that was, you kind of lost your head on that one. Oh. All right, let's give some tickets away. Hi. Huh? What? Watch out. No one knows what we're talking about, but that's okay.
Snap tweeted us a video in response to Aaron Judge's strike zone that was a bit offensive.
Yeah, it was. It was the film JFK.
When the bullet arrives.
And he said, this is how you pitch the judge. Just not appropriate.
Just not good.
Not good, Snap. Not something I can condone. But what I can condone, Joseph.
Yes.
Is giving away two tickets to the Vampires and Vixens presented by Leather and Lace. So let's do that right now. Now's your chance to win two tickets to this year's hottest Halloween party, Vampires and Vixens Ball, presented by Leather and Lace, hosted by supermodel Charlotte McKinney. Experience an award-winning haunted house with the coolest scare technology, specialty performers, and the creepiest clowns you've ever seen. All happening Saturday, October 28th. Very good. I like that. It's all happening October 28th on Saturday at Silver Street Studios. Tickets are available leatherandlaces.com, and a portion of the proceeds will benefit disaster relief efforts from Harvey for Easter Seals of Greater Houston. Leather and Laces Vampire and Vixens Ball, sponsored by Twin Peaks, Bacardi, Grey Goose, Patron, Top Dog Halloween, and Common Bond Bakery. So what we'll do is we'll give you two tickets to the Vampires and Vixens Ball, presented by Leather and Lace. Right now, caller number 10, 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Be caller number 10. Win your tickets to Leather and Lace Ball.
Boom.
Okay. Let's
just
do
like that.
That's fun. I kind of want to go to that just to see.
I would like to casually people watch.
I wonder if we sent Nick in sweatpants, if he would get a chub. Would you do that if we sent you?
I would not do that.
You don't think you would get a chub, or you think you wouldn't go in sweatpants?
Why would I get a chub?
I don't know. I just feel like, how old are you, Nick?
I am 34.
So you're still at that age where you get erections for no reason.
Yeah.
If you could have seen his face with the pause before he answered that.
Okay. So, I mean, I think that would be, it would be good to see if you could not get one.
I think I can control it.
You think you can?
I'm at that age where I'm like right in between, so I might be able to like block.
I don't know.
Temptation. What if you saw something that you'd like to be at that age in between?
Put it this way. If you were a photographer shooting like a Playboy spread, do you think you could do that without getting an erection?
I think the first few times would be a struggle, but I think after that, I think it wouldn't be a
problem. So, in other words, the first hour at the Leather and Lace Ball, the Vampires and Vixens
would
ball,
be a struggle.
You would be walking around, like bent over, kind of. Like,
now that, you know, guys wear pants a lot tighter and fit, you know.
So
you couldn't treat it like a locker room after a game where you just
still gets one.
No, I'm not talking about from that perspective. I'm talking about the fact that you got to get the video and the sound, and you're just coming in there to do your job.
It does remind me of that Asian media member in the Rockets locker room. Was it a year ago or 2 years ago they got in trouble for that?
With the questions to Draymond Green?
What?
He was...
Well, the question to Draymond Green wasn't really sexual. It was more about how every time there's a flood in Houston, the Warriors come into town and win, basically.
Oh.
And he didn't like that because he was obviously trying to get Green to say something bad about Houston.
Baiting him.
Yeah.
Okay, so you think you could get through there. Well, I accept your challenge, and now let's make it happen.
Actually, I was off. They offered a gig right after I finished, because I was a production assistant on American Idol, I want to say like season 9 or something
really?
Like that. Yeah.
Look at you.
After that, I was trying to get into the industry.
Did you get to meet Simon Cowell?
No, I met Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, and... I was going to say, was this when Crazy Paulo was still doing it?
No.
By the way, who follows me on Twitter? I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah.
Did you?
Are you still talking to Alyssa Milano?
You know, it's funny you bring that up.
On the DM?
Yes. It's funny you bring that up because...
Or was it a group text? My bad.
As a group text, but it's via DM. Via DM, excuse me.
Let me pick that up.
Will you grab that name for me?
I
just dropped a couple of those.
Got that.
Oops.
Yep.
My bad. But, you know, have you seen, and this is so sad, this is such a switch from what we were just talking about, but have you seen what's trending on Facebook right now and on Twitter, the hashtag MeToo?
Oh, yeah. You were talking about this, yeah.
Man, that is disturbing.
That's insane.
It's pretty sad, actually, to see how many of my friends are participating in that. You don't realize the impact and how widespread the issue is. And if you're not familiar with what's going on, there's a trend right now on social media, on Twitter and Facebook, where women are posting hashtag MeToo, and some of them are even including this story. And basically what it was a challenge from Alyssa Milano, where she said, if you've been a victim of, you know, sexual assault or... sexual harassment or anything, because this is all stemming from the Harvey Weinstein thing, to post your story, to hashtag Me Too or retweet her tweet and say hashtag Me Too to let the world see how big of a problem this really is. And I'm telling you what, I have been disappointed and saddened and shocked at how many of my friends posted their stories about Me Too. It's just...
That's the biggest thing. When it personalizes it, because you see the Weinstein story and you think, oh, this is just Hollywood types. But when you see people you know that you've been friends with for a long time, and you go, it just makes you step back and go, whoa, really?
You know, and my thought was really and truly, and I'm sure this is... Some people are not going to want to hear this. As men, we have to do better. I mean, we really do. It's when you start to think about, this is somebody's mother... This is somebody's sister. This is somebody's daughter. Joel, you have a young daughter. Yeah. And you see these stories about these women that are being harassed and or being sexually assaulted or have been in the past, and they're trying to get on with their lives. But, you know, it affects you. It changes them. And you're seeing these stories from people that I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And all I can think of is just, as men on this planet, as citizens of this we have to do better.
Yeah.
We have to start holding each other accountable, because I think a lot of times that's part of the problem is we don't hold ourselves accountable. We don't hold other men accountable. Like when you see the stories about Harvey Weinstein and in Hollywood, a lot of the guys were just like, well, you know, it was known, but nobody said anything. Nobody did anything. I know there were times when some actors would approach him specifically. I think it was like Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yep.
And Matt Damon, I think. Was that the one that he got in his face? He said, you won't do this again. You leave her alone. You don't touch her.
Brad Pitt was dating Gwyneth Paltrow at the time.
Yeah, that's what it was. Brad Pitt and Gwyneth Paltrow. But then there's the whole, what's his name? Good Will Hunting.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon, Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck, who kind of was very passive about the whole thing and didn't really stand up
almost
to him.
Almost to the point where he was kind of accused of covering up.
Or at least just going along with the flow because he's so powerful and he backed their Good Will Hunting movie. And that's the point I'm making is when it comes to that, we have to do better as men.
No question.
We have to start holding each other accountable. I remember stories from my mom when she was a businesswoman in the 80s where she would tell me about how her boss would chase her around the desk. No woman should have to do that at work. I mean, that's just unfathomable to me.
And did you hear the Donna Karan comments as well, right? Where she came out, it was some big red carpet affair. And she's a famous designer, and she just grabbed the microphone and said, "It's on the women, and the women need to dress more conservatively, and they need to change the way their approach." No, you don't. It's not on them. It's on us. It's on everyone.
Yeah.
And everybody's got to do, like you said, do better, but come together and realize, hey, women dress up not to try and get sexually harassed by men. They dress up because it gives them confidence. Because it feels we know when you're wearing a suit or you're wearing your best clothes. And you're all cleaned up. You know you have a confidence about you. You go about your day with a very positive approach. You're attacking life. You don't expect in the process you're going to get attacked because of what you're wearing and because you look good.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think you have to. You. I mean, again, we have to hold each other accountable, and we have to. There's a lot of things that we could change. I saw somebody post on Facebook. Well, if it's so prevalent, what really can we do? There's a lot of things we can do.
Yeah.
One, I think that having a statute of limitations on rape and sexual assault is ridiculous. That woman's life is ruined, or that person's life is ruined. Why shouldn't the person that committed it not be held accountable at any point? There shouldn't be a statute of limitations.
There shouldn't
on
be
it.
A circle on a calendar should, that lets them know no, that they're
yeah,
off,
oh, I,
off
I got
free.
Away with it.
Right.
No, that shouldn't happen. I think we need harsher penalties. I think we need... And part of it goes back to... I hear all the time where women say, no one believed me. Why would I tell anyone? We have to stop just assuming that women aren't telling the truth when it comes to that. And there's a lot of things that we could do. It's really sad to see, but I'm glad that it's happening and opening people's eyes to it. And yeah, and I said all that to say that in the DM, in that group chat, I told her, hey, I just want to congratulate you on the impact you're having and what you're doing. And she said, thanks. You know, a moment can turn into a movement. And I said, have you considered starting or doing Me Too shirts? And donating the proceeds and the profits to help further women's causes. She was like, that's a great idea. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, it's pretty sad, man. It's pretty sad. Everybody has a woman in their life. And that's why I think as men, we have to do better.
Absolutely.
There you go. Totally agree. All right. One in the books, two to go. Plenty more of the big shows. We've already steamrolled through hour number one. Nick is not wearing sweatpants, and we are ready to attack with vigor hour number two. Don't go anywhere. It is The Usual Suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.